Hello, and welcome to the LifeWorks podcast, where we share lessons learned from the trenches of life and business to help you achieve more, live more, and be more. I am your host, Mark Boutros. In this interview, I am on the other side of the microphone with Dave Brown as my gracious host. Dave is the CEO of DSB Leadership Group. In this Facebook Live interview, we talk about a variety of speaking-related topics, including overcoming speaker anxiety, crafting on-target messages, speaking in the virtual world, and much more. Enjoy.
Everybody, or should I say good morning for those of you that are traveling or on the West Coast. I am excited to be able to spend some time with my friend Mark Boutros today. And let me first of all offer up an apology for some technical challenges we had on Tuesday. And as Mark and I have discussed, technology is such a blessing when it is working right. And it's, of course, a challenging when it's not going your way. But we are professionals and we are having fun. We're trying to make the best of this situation. And so I'm really glad to be able to have Mark join us today. Mark, thank you for being a part of our interview series. Why don't you tell everybody a little bit about who you are and about what you're passionate about?
Dave, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. It's an honor to be on with you. I do want to first pay you a compliment, actually. I think that the concept of having an interview series during a lunchtime hour, I think, is actually a brilliant idea. So kudos to you for coming up with such a great idea on such an awesome topic at such a perfectly allocated time. So thank you for having me on, and kudos to you for the idea of doing this.
Thank you. You're so gracious, Mark. So tell us about yourself and quit talking about me.
Sure. So I am a classic Myers-Briggs ENFJ, which is colloquially known as the teacher. And so that'll tell you a little bit about what I'm passionate about. I'll tell you a little bit about the important things. I'm married to a superhero woman. We've been together more than 20 years and married about 18 of those. We have two remarkable girls. One is a teenager and one is a tweenager. Ooh. So navigating that aspect of their that time of their life is an incredible experience, actually. And I'm not saying that to be facetious. It really is incredible to watch them grow. What I do to pay bills is I actually work for Noblis, which is a company that does advanced research and development and direct mission support for the government. So that's what pays the bills. But for the purpose of this time, one of the highlights of my early career was that I got to actually be on the speaking circuit for about a year, touring with authors and big time life coaches and thinkers from the mid 90s. And, you know, at the beginning of what we know today as the internet. So I actually was speaking about that technology at that time and actually talking about things like PowerPoint before, you know, when it was still like 2.0, and I was actually giving talks on how to give talks using this new technology. So it was pretty cool. I'm also a student. I'm actually doing some postmaster's work actually at Cornell University in data science and data analytics. The thing I'm really passionate about, as you can tell, is learning and making that available to other people. So something else that I do in all of my vast spare time is I host a podcast called the LifeWorks Podcast, where I share lessons that I've learned and observed, and I also do interviews as well.
Mark, that is fascinating. It's amazing to be able to see the energy you have to be able to handle the focus on work, be able to build your own practice in terms of life and what we call business strategist, raising two girls, by the way. I have one in college, and so I know how challenging and thrilling and exciting that can be. But then also doing this podcast, what led you to starting this podcast? And what really is the crux of what you're trying to accomplish through your podcast?
It all kind of started in high school. I'm going to tell a very, very quick story. When I was in high school, I was a dork, okay? And I'm going to tell you how dorky I was. So a friend of mine and I, who is equally dorky, I will not call his name out, you know, here on Facebook, but he and I would get together on Friday nights and we would order a pizza, and we would listen to classical music. This is very dorky, believe me. And we would just sit and talk about life. And, you know, and it definitely kept us out of trouble for sure. But one of the things I realized was I really enjoyed learning and talking about life and what works in life. So this is just, it's kind of part of my personality. I love talking, especially one-on-one with people. But I think what really led to this is that I've been working for a staggering number of years. And I will tell you, it's actually 37 years that I've been working, which if you look at me, the math doesn't quite work, but it's actually true. I actually started working when I was 8 years old. So that gave me about a 10-year edge on all of my peers from a work perspective. That said, when you've been working for close to 40 years and you've lived for about that time too, you see a lot, right? And you experience a lot and you observe a lot. And I've certainly done all of that. And I said, I need a way to channel all of this, to channel all these lessons learned, all these observations, and just what I've observed that of what works both in life and in business. But not only that, it also gives me a platform to give the microphone to someone else to share about their expertise and their lessons learned. So this is something I've actually started doing this year, is actually doing kind of like this format, Zoom-based interviews where, you know, we're doing it face-to-face. And so what ends up happening, what I end up doing is I end up posting the videos to YouTube and then posting the podcast, the audio, to iTunes. So my audience can actually, depending on what they want, whether they prefer video or they prefer audio while they're doing the dishes or whatever, then they get it both ways. So, and I think another thing that really propelled me in this direction was that I felt like right now the world is losing its mind. And the perspectives in the media are extraordinarily one-sided or the other-sided, if you know what I mean. They're very polarized. And I just felt like, man, I need to make sense of all of this for myself. And you know, so let me bring on some guests that are interesting and that can provide some good context, something we are sorely missing, bring good context to some of the big issues that, you know, we're facing today. Like, so I'll give you an example. One of my early interviews was with a sociologist, Maricela Cola, and she was able to give some perspective on the Black Lives Matter movement and why it is taking prominence today. Another interview that I did was shortly thereafter was actually with a friend of mine who's an African-American and retired police officer with the Alexandria, Virginia Police Department. And he was able to, and this is all around the time that George Floyd was going down and the Rayshard Brooks case was happening. And so he was actually able to provide, you know, an African-American perspective, but also the police perspective as well. So I'm getting these really interesting people talking about some really interesting and relevant topics to just provide some added context and background and critical thinking to the narrative that exists today. And it's been amazing and fun and feeds so much in me for learning and being able to make that learning available to other people.
I love that, Mark. And I'll say that in listening to the podcast and at the very end, we're going to give everyone an opportunity to be able to find out how to get a hold of you. But I will say this, I've really been intrigued by the guests you've had on, and I love it. And it kind of makes me feel like you don't just go listen to a podcast just for someone's opinion. You're going literally to your podcast, you're getting experts. You're getting people that are subject matter experts that really have great insights and are giving their opinions. And I really liked your podcast. I mean, it's really challenging me to think about how to take my podcast up a notch. So I want to thank you for that. Let me ask you this, Mark, and maybe for the rest of the group here, you've been a speaker for a long time. What would you say is the most difficult challenge or difficult part of being a speaker?
My kids tease me that I give them a speech or multiple speeches every day. So, and I tell them, well, that's my job. I'm a dad, you know. But I think for me personally, because I've been speaking a long time and because I have a, I have a penchant or a love for context and providing context. I think I tend to provide a little bit too much, I think. You know, some people just say, look, man, just get to the point, right? Just give me the bullet points, you know, and I'll give you the bullet points, but I also want to give you why those bullet points exist and where those bullet points come from and how we arrived at those bullet points. So I believe people need context, but not, I'm learning in audience analysis that that's not always the case. So my personal challenge is brevity and conciseness, and I'll leave it there so I can actually put that into practice.
I appreciate it, Mark. Let me ask you this. In the years you've been speaking, you probably, even through your coaching, have come across clients that need some support in this arena of what we call speaker anxiety. What are some of the strategies or some of the techniques that you've implemented either for yourself or that you've given to your clients?
It's the million-dollar question, right? I think it really is in a couple of different, there are a couple of answers to that. Let me tell you just a quick story about two kids at a swim meet. All right, so my kids used to be in competitive swimming when we had competitive swimming pre-COVID, and I was a timer on the starting blocks. And the first kid comes up and he's like, you know, just frumpy dumpy, right? I mean, he's sagging, he's down, his shoulders are slumped. And he's literally saying out you know, to himself, you know, out loud, I'm gonna come in last. You know, I didn't do well in practice this week. I am coming in last today. He literally said this outside, out loud, for all of us to hear. And you can imagine what happened, right? So another kid comes up. Same team, same coach, same socioeconomic status, same neighborhood. I mean, like everything's, they could have literally been the same kid, but he's like doing the neck thing, Michael Phelps. And he's just like pumped. And he was, this second kid was going to go into the most Spartan swimming event of all of them. And he said, I'm going to crush my time today. Okay. And you know what happened? You already know the end of the story. The kid dropped 16 seconds in his event, 16, which is unheard of. In swimming, if you drop like 2 seconds, that's like amazing. This kid dropped 16 seconds and I believe took first in his heat, first or second. So the first thing is that we have to go into any speaking engagement telling ourselves the story of the second kid, right? That we've got to tell ourselves, I'm going to crush it. If we say, I'm nervous, they know more than me, I'm not a very good speaker, guess what's going to happen? You know, so it all starts in the story that we tell ourselves.
I love that. I think that's so true, Mark. It is a mindset issue, isn't it? It's about what we tell ourselves. If we're convinced with what we tell ourselves, and if we believe that our presentation is going to be successful and that we're going to be able to convey our message in a way that's going to hit the audience, then that's going to actually help us to actually what I would call perform better. And maybe we will cross that finish line first. And I don't know, the shaving 16 seconds, that's amazing. I don't know how he did that. He's getting trained by Michael Phelps. That's what he's doing.
He must have been. But I think the other aspect of this, of overcoming speaker anxiety, is over preparation. Let me give you another example. My kids and I in a few weeks are singing at a benefit for a local musical theater company, and so I'm the only parent who's doing this. It's all kids, but I'm the only parent because I get to bond with my kids over this. So we picked a song and we ran this song before the audition, mind you, before the audition, 90 times before this is before we even get the chance to just to get to see if we can actually do it, right? 90 times before the audition. So what happened in the audition was, now I'm I do have a bit of a musical background, as you know, but when I got in, it's been a little while, and I was prepared. My kids were fine, they're pros. But actually, for me, I actually got nervous. I got nervous in the middle of the audition, and the adrenaline kicked in. And when the adrenaline kicks in, funny things happen. You know, like, you know, your brain shuts down and you just, you want to fight or flight. You want to literally run off stage or just speed up so that, you know, you finish the song faster. And I could feel it. But what happens is, and what happens when we get nervous is that we default to what's in our nervous system, right? So what we have to do is we have to over-prepare. That's the point, is we practice this song 90 times so that when I got nervous, it wouldn't show, but that I would default back to what's already in my nervous system. And so for people who say, okay, I've made my PowerPoint, I'm done. Mm-hmm. No, that you're only 50% done. You're at the end of your development. Now you have to actually practice it. So it's over. I think two things. One, it's the story that you tell yourself. And second, it's absolutely, there's just no way around it. There's no magic bullet, you know, for over preparation.
Yeah. And I love that you said that, Mark. I think people ask all the time, what do you do? What can you do to make sure you're preparing yourself or setting yourself up for success? And I tell them, you've got to put in the time and prepare. The better off you are in terms of understanding your material, knowing what you're going to go through, or what we call the run through,
yep,
use the power of visualization, you're going to be more successful. By the way, Andrea Sands and Jeff Fricks both say hello.
Hi, guys. Great to see you.
Yeah, I've had the privilege of having Jeff on before, and he shared more from his perspective as a sales leader, which was fantastic.
I saw it.
Good, good. So tell me about a recent talk you've had, Mark, because you do presentations all the time. But tell me about a recent talk you've had where you felt like you're able to connect with the audience, or at least that you felt like the audience connected with your message. And how was the difference doing it virtually than doing it, let's say, live?
So I have a really great story about that, because I actually, about once a quarter, maybe once every 6 weeks, I actually give a talk about giving talks to local universities. And I actually call it Rockstar Presentations. And I have a very easy framework: ready, set, rock. Okay, that's my 3 points. So ready is all about preparation. Set is all about the practicing. And then rock is just, you're just delivering and answering questions. So this is a really fascinating case study in trying to give a talk about giving talks virtually, okay, to a college audience of about 40, okay? What was really fascinating about this is that I had to completely change the format for my talk, because previously it was in PowerPoint, it's me getting up in front of the class, and if I wanted to bore them to death, I could have just delivered that. But I had to really change. I mean, I had to alter it completely for the virtual format, because there's so much you have to overcome, you know, in this format. What I did was I changed it, and I opened the talk. Now again, this is about giving presentations. So the first three words that flash up on the screen very slowly is, worst speech ever. Okay, so then I go over to a YouTube video of Phil Davison. He's a local politician in Minerva, Ohio. You can Google him, Davison, not Davidson, but Davison. It is an internet classic. Where he basically gives a speech, and he's literally the example of what not to do in a talk, and it's just, it's hilarious. I mean, it was such a sensation. He was like on Good Morning America the next day. I mean, he was on commercials and television. I mean, just, it was just uproarious. I wanted it seared into their consciousness, so that they would know what not to do in a talk. And I'll tell you, it was so captivating, and it. You know, and I presented my very simple, you know, approach to putting together a compelling talk. And I thought, well, I mean, they're going to be done, because, you know, the online format is actually kind of exhausting after a while. They were on, and I've given it several times, you know, since changing to virtual, and without fail, I mean, they're online asking questions an hour and a half after I've finished. The talk I give is probably a half hour or so, you know, maybe 40 minutes. But then after that, they're like, they're on, they're asking questions. I mean, it's really, it's been an interesting case study for me in how to deliver a talk effectively through using virtual means. Another thing that I use as well is something called Mentimeter. It's basically used for like online polling, right? And you can use your phone, you can use your device, you can use your computer, you know, and you can have quizzes, you can have competitions and things like that. So it's an awesome tool to really engage people in a virtual format, because what ends up happening is, you know, you have this the talking head, and you can just lose people. They can tune out and, you know, go do something else. Even while they're there, they'll listen to you passively, but they might not be listening to you. But Mentimeter is a really good tool for really engaging people, you know, while you're in a virtual format. So those are some of the things I've used to try to create a more captivating experience, especially in this virtual environment.
What I love about that, Mark, is just so everybody knows, I've had the privilege of being able to sit in one of Mark's presentations, and it really keeps the audience engaged because they feel like they're doing something. You know, when you're presenting live, you get that feedback. You get this sense of how to fuel energy, and you get energy from your audience. When you're virtual, that's really non-existent. And when you implemented that tool, Mentimeter, it really gave the audience ability to engage with each other, engage with you. You were able to take their results of the polling, share it back. It keeps them captivated. So I really appreciate you giving that example and really sharing that insight, Mark. Let me ask you this question. And before we get into this other one, I have to ask you. When you think about the messages you craft, yeah, and you think about the podcast episodes, how do you come up with these ideas, or how do you craft these messages to make sure that it's not just in your head, but you're able to put it out there in a way that can be really received in a way that your audience can take it and run with it?
From a speaking perspective, and I think that's where I'll focus here, is I always begin with the audience. It always starts with the audience. A lot of times what we do as speakers and experts is we say, I've got a topic and I'm going to present on the topic, right? And we go and we present, or we put out the the podcast episode or whatever, or we give the talk, and it misses the mark. Ooh. And a lot of times it misses the mark because what we had in our heads and what the audience needed, what, you know, were two different things, and there's a chasm between those two. In speaking, you know, what I do is I look at the audience, right? You know, I look at everything about them, their age, where they are, you know, in terms of location, where they come from, what they already know about the topic, you know, education level, you know, those kind of things. And ultimately, what is it that they need? And sometimes I actually have to ask the course organizer or you know, some student representative or a focus group or something like that, you know, what is it that this audience needs? And then, and once they provide me that answer, then I can really begin crafting my message. You know, it all begins with the audience and what they need. And my objective for that has to map directly to that need. And then I craft the message and activities and everything accordingly to meet that objective so that I'm meeting that audience need.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And that is so true. Actually, one of my workshops when I teach and train on public speaking, I make that very point. And when people buy my course, they actually will get that in my course, that it's not about you, it's about your audience.
Absolutely.
And I found that I've taken the same keynote speech and I've had to adjust it based on the audience I'm speaking with.
Absolutely.
And so in a very simple form, you can't go to, let's say, Michigan and forget you're in Michigan and start talking about how awesome Ohio State is. You just can't do that, right?
You've committed.
You can do the same message, but you're calling it like that.
Right. Yeah.
So, let me ask this, Mark, before we let you go for now. In terms of the audience, what are some tips, or what would you like to leave the audience with today let's say they're interested in learning more about speaking, or they're interested in learning more about how to become a podcaster, what would be some advice you would leave them?
The thing that I think gets in our way in terms of speaking or podcasting for that matter, is thinking that you're going to connect with 100% of your audience, which is patently false. And I think that we as speakers, or even aspiring speakers, need to let that go. Right. We need to know that, guess what? 80% of the audience is already tuned out. You're going to reach maybe 20%, you know, maybe 1% will actually reach out to you and say, hey, great job. You know, and less than 1% will actually do something with what you say. So it's a really, really small percentage so that you're actually reaching. But what you're doing is you're scattering seeds. That's what you're doing. You can't have don't put the pressure on yourself that you need to reach 100% of your audience, because it just won't, statistically, it just will not happen. So take the pressure off yourself, right? You know, it's, you know, let that go and really just focus on the audience, focus on the need, and deliver to those people who are actually going to pay attention. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't, like, you know, just phone it in, right? But, you know, take the pressure off yourself. Cause I think that we put all this pressure on ourselves to perform. And, you know, this isn't the State of the Union, you know, or this isn't a political party's national convention where you really need to nail this the first time, right? You know, you're probably going to have other opportunities to speak in your lifetime, if all goes well. So I would say take the pressure off, you know, of yourself that, you know, it's, you're reaching just a finite percentage in your audience. And don't sweat too much.
I got it. I appreciate that, Mark. I've got to ask you this question. A member just threw this out there saying, based on what's going on with our country, the health pandemic, the social challenges, what do you feel are the most compelling topics people need to hear today?
Oh, gosh.
I know it's broad. I mean, you could paint a brush on it, but just maybe one or two.
One thing we all need to really pay attention to, the most important topic today, I believe, is critical thinking. Because we live in an age, I'm going to make no bones about it. We live in an age of disinformation where we have great difficulty telling fact from fiction, news from fake news, truth from lie. They're virtually indistinguishable from one another today. We need to be able to look at what we see, what we take in, and put it through a series of filters that really ask critical questions about that information. Who's behind that? What's their agenda? What do I think about this? Does this resonate? Is this good for me? You know, so I absolutely believe the most important thing that we all need to focus on right now is critical thinking. Even in our time of social upheaval, we really need to think about and put it into a reasoned and objective perspective. And that's what I've tried to do with my podcast, and bring on different perspectives to provide context. But don't believe everything you see. Yeah. That's just in terms of, you know, what's the most important topic? I can give you a litany of them, but I will say the most important right now for the entire world is critical thinking.
I love that, Mark, and I think that's so true. And I will tell you, there have been countless conversations I've had on what's going on in our country, what we could do in our companies. And the most important thing I've learned in all this is we've got to have dialogue. But we have to have dialogue and an openness of mind, and it comes from what you're saying, critical thinking. We've got to be able to challenge our thinking. We've got to be able to put out there that we've got to stretch our thinking. And this is so important. It reminds me of the time where you could say, well, no one can ever break 10 seconds in a 100 meters. No one can break 10 seconds, right? You have to expand and say, yes, you can. Change your technique, change your strategies, change the technology. And so we did. And so we have to be able to change the way we look at everything by expanding our mindset, by asking questions, being inquisitive, right? Being a student. And that's where we're going to go. So I love that you said that. And that's so true, Mark. For our group, how can they find out more about Mark Bottrell? Where can they find you? How can they reach you if they need to get a hold of you? How can they stay in touch with your podcast? Give us every platform. Tell us how we can do that.
I'm super easy to find online. You can reach me at my, you can find me on my website. That's where I host everything, at markabottrell.com. I'm on Instagram, same handle, Twitter, LinkedIn. I have a profile there. Here on Facebook, you can reach out to me. You can actually Google the Life Works podcast. And it's Life Works, it's two words. And you can actually find me on Google that way, on iTunes.
Yeah, and I've already subscribed to Mark's Life Works podcast. I hope all of you guys do that as well. And this is not going to be the last time, Mark. As a matter of fact, he's agreed to come on as a guest on my podcast in a future episode. And so we definitely want to continue to encourage each other. Mark and I go back years, guys. And I tell you, I'm impressed. He's a great singer as well. It's too bad we don't have the time. I can put him on the spot to sing something for us. But this is who he is. He's a professional through and through. He's passionate about what he does. I'm grateful for your time to be here. And I look forward to hearing more about you and your work, Mark.
Thank you, Dave. It's been an incredible pleasure to be with you. Thank you. Awesome. Thank you, everybody.
Well, guys, it's a pleasure having Mark here today. I look forward to having more of you on. We want to hear your story. We want to know what you're passionate about. We want to know why you are doing what you're doing and how you can use your voice to continue to shape our people and our organizations. Keep speaking, guys, no matter what you do. Thanks again, guys. Thanks again, Mark. We'll talk to you later.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and leave a rating. Or sign up for my free updates at my website, markabottrell.com, and you'll never miss a post. If this was really helpful to you, the highest compliment you can pay is to share it with someone else. Or feel free to connect with me on social media. I would love to hear from you.